I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Chris Fedor, super friend of the show, super friend of the station, who hosts here on 92.3 The Fan, as well as the lead writer on the Cavaliers on Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. And Chris is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Chris.
What's the good word with the Cavaliers right now? I kind of forgot about them, but yet they came back into existence yesterday. You know, what's the latest on the Cavs right now?
Well, I have to correct you, Andy. They are not in Independence. They are downtown. What they wanted to do was create this mini bubble that is very similar to the one that's going on in Disney, so that all these teams that are doing these in-market bubbles, including the Cavs, they adhere to the same protocols and they have the same parameters in place that the teams down in Disney did. So the Cavs felt it made more sense to hold it at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. They could rent out a downtown hotel so that they could watch film there, they could have meals there, they could be on the same floor with each other. And as much as this is about, like, getting back together as a team and working on some things on the court and J.B. Bickerstaff wanting to experiment with different lineup combinations and stuff like that that they weren't able to do because they lost 17 games at the end of the regular season and they weren't invited to the restart, it's also so much about team bonding and just coming together as a team once again. So that's why they wanted to be all in the same location inside this bubble.
So what's going on, Chris? Is it just regular practice, basically, that they would do, during training camp?
It's interesting because it's not really training camp, right? And it's not really practice. Right. But at the same time, like, it's not just walkthroughs and stuff like that. I guess, like, a source explained to me that there is a training camp feel to it, but they can't do everything that a team would do in training camp. At the same time, like, it's better than what has been going on the last 6 months. The last 6 months, you know, the Cavs have had players at the practice facility. They've been able to do one-on-one. They've been able to work with, I think it's two coaches max per basket. But this is different. Like, there aren't those same kinds of restrictions for them. So they're able to scrimmage up to 1 hour per day during these practice sessions. They're able to do 3-on-0 stuff. They're able to do 5-on-0 stuff. They're able to install things if they want to offensively and defensively. So it's tough because there's nothing specifically that they're gearing up for. They're not gearing up for a regular season or a preseason. But they do need this time together to put some stuff on film so that they can see how it looks and then go back and reevaluate it before next season, whenever that is.
Chris, is the Fieldhouse set up like the TV studios down in Orlando? I mean, is it blocked off the same way with the seating the same way, or just curious? Do you know?
So my understanding of it is, like, they have set it up similar to the practice facility where they've got the two baskets at both ends, but they also have two other hoops that they brought in to go across those as well, so that they essentially can have two courts, so that they can work on a bunch of different things all at once. And my understanding is, like, all the seats are out, so that, like, the whole bottom is kind of like when you see it being switched over from a hockey setup to a basketball setup, and, like, you have the ground floor like that and not a bunch of stuff surrounding it. Like, my understanding is that's the look that they have right now going on.
Gotcha.
The draft has been pushed back, correct?
Yeah.
Mid-November?
Yeah, November 18th.
So there's no way they're starting the season anytime soon. And Adam Silver the other day mentioned maybe January.
Yeah.
And Chris, that's awful vague. Are they waiting just to see how things play out with the virus in hopes that fans can get in the seats? Or what's the holdup in saying this is when we're going?
Guys, I think there are a few different things here in play. Obviously, one, they have to finish this season inside the bubble. They have to make sure that they can crown a champion and nothing unexpected happens while they're down in Disney, right? Who knows? Maybe there's another delay. Maybe there's more protests that go on. Maybe there are some teams that want to boycott if more things happen around the country that are unforeseen. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but the NBA is aware of how these players feel when it comes to social injustice and how they want to speak their mind. And the Milwaukee Bucks already staged a walkout. So I guess it's possible that one of these teams remaining could do the same thing if they get pissed off enough. So that's part of it. They have to finish this season first. The other part of it is there's probably going to be deep discussions about the CBA, about the salary cap, about all those different things that have to be figured out. Not that they've been pushed aside, but so much focus has been on, one, these in-market bubbles for the Delete Eight, and two, obviously, crowning a champion. And I do think there is something at play, too, Jeff, like you said. I think they just want a longer runway to see what happens with this virus, to see if there is a vaccine, to see if there is a way to safely bring fans back into the arena, even if not full capacity, some kind of attendance, so that these owners, I guess, are more appeased with the direction that the NBA wants to go next season. I continue to hear that there is a possibility that next season starts in regional bubble sites, and it's not as in-depth as what's going on in Disney, but it's going to be similar to that kind of setup. And I had heard, even going back about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, that March for a start of next season is definitely in play. So I just think it's so hard to get any kind of clarity on next season because there are so many things that still have to happen with this season and with the off season, and then, of course, with this virus, which nobody has the answers to.
Wow. So you think that they would and to say March, or we're talking – I mean, obviously we've got to hold back because of this year. But, man,
right.
March seems like a million miles away for the NBA. And is that – I wonder if they're thinking March because that might be the first time they feel like they can fill their arenas again? That seems
– Oh, I mean, owners want that, obviously.
Yeah.
Owners are hoping that – not that they're the ones that are holding this hostage or anything along those lines, but look, like, they want an opportunity to have fans in the arenas. They want an opportunity to get revenue. More revenue than what they would get in terms of some kind of separated regional bubbles. So I think that's certainly at play here because there is going to be a drop in revenue coming around the NBA. It's not just from the relationship with China, but as a result of this pandemic, and a way to get the revenue back to what the projections were supposed to be, or closer to what they were supposed to be, is to bring fans back into the arena. So if they hold off until January or February or March, that just gives more time to figure out whether it's possible to bring fans back into the arena safely.
Must tell you, I was watching the Miami-Boston game last night, and I thought, Tyler Hero is on the board at 5. And he goes off for 37 points last night. He looked great. 20-year-old rookie. Outstanding. I'm hoping that Darius Garland can develop into that kind of a player. But I just thought, man, there's a guy that can really play, and he went at 13. And it just made me think, again, so many things. Chris, you had 6'1 Colin Sexton. You brought in 6'1 Darius Garland. Okay, we'll see how that goes. But, man, you can't coach 6'5 and a jump shot on the wing.
Yeah.
And you can't coach, you know, 6'10, 6'11 inside with abilities. I just wonder what the Cavs are thinking as they head into this draft.
Yeah, so I remember having conversations with people inside the organization going into last year's draft, and there were a lot of guys inside that organization that liked Tyler Hero. And I kept asking, I said, okay, like, what's the range for this guy? Like, I know that you like him, but would you consider him at number five? And I never got the feeling that he was ever in consideration that high. But if they would have been able to get a middle of the first round pick, then that probably would have been the range. And, like, it's so hard when it comes to the draft because so many of these organizations, they attach a value to a specific player. And you can argue if it's right or wrong for them to do this. But they say, okay, like, this guy is in the range of top five. This guy is in the range of top 10. This guy is mid-first rounder. And they have all these guys broken up into tiers. And it's hard for them to go away from that. In the case of Tyler Hero, if they had him in the mid-first round, it just would have been really hard for them to potentially justify taking him fifth overall, even though, like, he was the shooter that they needed, right? He was the size out there on the perimeter that they didn't have. So I think if we go into this upcoming draft, the Cavs are going to break it up the same kind of way. They've got a top tier of three players. It's Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and James Wiseman. And they've got a second tier. Tier two is filled with six or seven different guys. And then they have to figure out, like, how they're going to separate those six to seven and what makes the most sense for them at number five. I continue to think that based on just the way that this roster is set up, that the most logical thing for them to do at number five is to take one of these wings, because that's a glaring need for them. And that's kind of in the range of where those wings, Devin Vassell, Denny Avdia, Isaac Okoro, where they're going to be drafted anyway. So it's kind of a perfect match of value, a positional fit, and overall talent. But who knows what they're going to do? There's a lot of time for them still to figure this out, and there's a lot of things that they still have to go through before making that decision.
Chris Fedor joining us, covers the Cavs for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, and works with us at 92.3 The Fan. I'm looking at the NBA Finals, and I must say, as much as I've enjoyed the caliber of play in the bubble, I think it's been really pretty good. I was so looking forward to the Clippers-Lakers in the Western Conference Finals that even though I love Michael Malone, I'm not overly intrigued by that series, and I really wanted to see Milwaukee make a run. And instead, you have Boston, who, you know, this is the same Boston team we've seen for some time with a couple of additions, and they're doing just fine. But, Chris, I got to give the Miami Heat some real credit. That organization, and you might not like Pat Riley. I don't mean you, but anybody. And you might not think Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the league, but Riley really knows what he's doing, and Spoelstra can really coach. The Heat's really good.
There were a few times, guys, before John Beilein was no longer the Cavs head coach, that him and I had private conversations inside his office about who he wanted the Cavs to become. And I remember when they played against Miami, I think it was on the road in the first game against Miami, and Duncan Robinson hit a bunch of threes, maybe eight or nine of them. I had a conversation with John. He looked at me and he was like, we need to be Miami. Like, that's the culture that we need to create. It's not first overall picks, right? He was like, look, Duncan Robinson is undrafted. Kendrick Nunn, undrafted. Bam Adebayo, end of lottery. You know, Tyler Hero, end of lottery. Like, that's who we need to be. And I always thought that that was interesting that, you know, John was in the NBA for I don't know how many months. And he looked around the league at all these different teams and how they operated. And he picked out Miami as the team that he wanted the Cavs to emulate. And I always thought that that was interesting because it shows just how much respect Miami has earned around the NBA, because from top to bottom, it is championship level. Like, they've got a championship level executive, they've got a championship level coach, they've got a championship level player development program. Like, guys go to Miami and thrive. And some of these guys, when they leave Miami, they're not the same kind of person. And I think that just speaks to how great everything is down in Miami.
Chris, thank you very much. We always appreciate talking. You are the Iron Man of Twitter, and, of course, you are a super friend to the show. Thank you, Chris.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer, also 92.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.